This episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast with Brett Phillips from the Tampa Bay Rays, baseball's funniest player, is presented today by Compassion International. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world, and they need your help. We're talking about 70,000 kids in desperate need of help because of the pandemic, because of COVID-19. Check out fillthestadium.com to donate, to pray, and to help these kids and their families be released from these difficult situations. Fillthestadium.com.
This is Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Welcome, everyone, to the show. I am Jason, and this is the Sports Spectrum podcast. So glad that you're tuning into the show today. Make sure you check out sportsspectrum.com for all of our content. That is our website. Devotionals, articles, stories, podcasts, all available. All of it is free, and it's right there at the website, sportsspectrum.com. You can use that website as a resource to share the gospel with others who love sports. And maybe you want to look at a place where you can tell them about Jesus and you're not sure how. Let us be that resource for you. And you can find it all available at sportsspectrum.com. We have one of my favorite people on Sports Spectrum today. He is Brett Phillips. And I met Brett about 5 years ago at a baseball Christian conference in Florida, I think is where we were. And I heard him laugh. He's got one of the great laughs you'll ever hear. But then I got to know Brett a little bit, and what a great guy, just a genuinely awesome guy, full of joy, and that joy comes from his relationship with the Lord. And we had Brett on back in 2018. He came on this podcast. He shared his story of faith. He shared about the time growing up next door to WWE superstar Randy Macho Man Savage. He talked about going to the big leagues and making that Major League Baseball debut with the Milwaukee Brewers back in June of 2017. So we talked a lot about his origin story, if you will, on that last podcast. Well, here we are about 3.5 years later, and Brett Phillips is doing his thing right now with the Tampa Bay Rays, a team primed to make a run in the postseason again, because last year they were in the World Series and lost to the Dodgers in 6 games. They won the American League Championship. And you might be thinking, Brett Phillips, you might be a casual baseball fan. Trust me, you remember Brett Phillips' moment. Game 4, the World Series against the Dodgers, down a run, and he comes up and hits the game-winning hit. 2 runs come in. He does the airplane motion around the outfield, and he is a World Series hero, a very unlikely World Series hero. And now we got Brett back on today to talk about all that God has done in his life, really since he got traded to Tampa Bay. And what a story that is when you find out the story behind the story of him getting traded from Kansas City to Tampa last August 2020, going to his hometown and now contributing to a really good baseball team with the Tampa Bay Rays here in 2021. Take a listen to Brett Phillips. Baseball should be fun, and Brett is going to tell you why right here today on Sports Spectrum. Let's take a listen. What's up, Brett? Welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, definitely long overdue, Jason. It's good to see your face and to talk to you again. Just some awesome stuff going on, and I'm happy to be here talking to you about it. And yeah, everything's been going well.
That's good. I see you're still wearing the hat backwards. That's a good trademark for Brett Phillips. That hasn't changed. And I have so many questions for you, bro, about baseball and some faith questions as well. Let me start with this season. Obviously, you know, we're taping this, and in a couple weeks, all sorts of things could happen. But at this moment, as we record, you're having your best year, double-digit home runs, team is playing well. What has this 2021 season kind of been like for you to experience? I mean, last year was pretty great too, when we look back, when you go to the World Series, but this year there's been really no letdown for Tampa. They've had a really, really good year, and you've been a big part of that.
Yeah, I think you said it. That was the most important. The team is playing well. I mean, that is the first off, the biggest factor. And I know it's cliche to say, but honestly, if you look at years in the past and you look at teams who have done well throughout the season. Usually guys' numbers are all going to be pretty good at the end of the year. Right. And, you know, luckily I've been fortunate enough to be playing on a team who is just unbelievable talent. Everyone is awesome in the clubhouse. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you one guy that I try and avoid in the clubhouse. And that usually doesn't happen in a big league clubhouse. That's just the reality of it. But, you know, it comes down to everyone just picking each other up. And we're playing good baseball, and that's why you see I'm having a career year, and my numbers look good. That's a testament to the guys in the clubhouse, and I give them all the credit for my numbers being where they're at.
Yeah, inside the park home run, by the way, August 16th, as we're recording this just a couple weeks ago, against Baltimore, you've hit 3 grand slams this year. It must feel good to get that first legit opportunity to play regularly and contribute. You've always been a great teammate, and nobody can ever deny that. But to be able to be on the field and actually contribute on the field, not just as a great teammate in the clubhouse, that's got to feel really good.
It feels really good. And it's just a blessing. You know, I feel so blessed to, first of all, just be in my hometown where I grew up rooting for the Rays. I'm now playing for the Rays. How things have unfolded. I mean, it's just all the glory to God each and every day. I mean, seriously, it's been so unreal. I mean, I can't even think about what, you know, what God has given me. My mind has never even asked for. And so that is just a blessing and a dream inside a dream itself. And seriously, I couldn't be happier each and every day.
So there's a couple things that have happened this year that I do want to ask you about specifically in this season that is so long, right? And I remember it even started, I think, back in March when you were mic'd up on ESPN trying to play a baseball game with like an AirPod in your ear. It was great to watch back then. But you get through the season, and July 2nd, 2021 is where I want to go first. Buffalo, New York. Yeah. You go from being an outfielder to a pitcher. And we're going to talk about the idea of baseball being fun and your brand and all that, which I love. But you get this opportunity, which doesn't happen too often, to go and pitch a game. It always usually happens in a game that you're not looking to be a pitcher in because your team isn't doing well, obviously. Yeah. And those games kind of happen every so often. But you made the most of it, and you look like you were having so much fun. You've only gave up one run in the inning, which is like got to be a huge accomplishment for you. But what was that like when you found out, oh, my gosh, this might be happening. Yeah. I might get this opportunity. I'm not going to mess with this. I'm taking advantage of it.
It was by far the most fun I've ever had playing baseball.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, there was zero expectations. No one expected me to go out there and have a shutdown inning or anything like that. And it just took all the pressure out of the major league, you know, the circumstances, expectations that the major league life gives a player. I didn't feel any of that being a pitcher because there were none. So that's what made it so fun. And I will say, when I was in the bullpen, I had zero clue there were cameras on me. Honestly, when I got back to my phone and there, like, people were blowing me up and I saw the video, I was just like, no, you did not. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, because I was just doing that to make our bullpen laugh, you know, kind of been, like you said, If we were a last place team and we were getting blown out, there's a time and place, right? That you don't do that. But we're a first place team. We had a bad night. You know, we're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to win and we're going to keep things rolling. So, you know, that was just an opportunity for me to have fun, show the guys, hey, this is a long season. Games like this are going to happen. Let's just move forward, enjoy it. And then, you know, we'll get them tomorrow. So that's what I was trying to, you know, portray. And again, I was the most fun. Even if no one was having fun with me, I was having the best time of my life.
Well, I think it's so hard to get to the majors, right? And you know this. I mean, you grinded, you were a high school draft pick, and it took you a while to get there. It's so hard to get there and stay there. You also know that. It's so hard to have success there. You also know that. And so I think, and I could be wrong on this from the outside, but having known guys like you and others that play, it can get so serious and tense, and you're trying to keep your job, that it's almost like when we see a Brett Phillips having fun in the bullpen, we're like, oh, that's amazing. It's like he's a 5-year-old kid going out and having fun again, but that doesn't happen that much. And I'm just wondering, do you receive?
Yeah. And this
not
is
backlash, but is that something that's talked about? Like, man, we have to remember that this is a fun game here that we're playing. You know,
I'm so glad you brought that up. And
yeah,
this goes back to, you know, where it started, why we started playing baseball in the first place, right? Like when our parents dropped us off for that first T-ball practice or game, it was because it was fun. There were zero expectations. This is fun. We're enjoying it. And as the years go by, whether it's the competitive part of things or the business side of things start to overshadow what's most important and what the game is all about, that's, which is fun, I never myself want to lose sight, regardless of how crazy, how competitive, whatever business side of things come about. I need to always look myself in the mirror and be like, why are you playing this game? And that, and the answer should always be because it's fun. And if it's not, then it's time to move on, because that's when you start to see guys, and you know, you've seen it, I've seen it. You see guys, they start losing that the joy of the game. And next thing you know, they're miserable. They're depressed. They're going through things that I believe, you know, they shouldn't have been going through in the first place because of, you know, external circumstances that put them in that situation. You know what I mean? And they should have never, and it's, again, it doesn't come from them. It comes from what people tell us we should be like, what, you know, what the world thinks we should be like straightforward. Like, this is dead serious, when in reality it's not. This is not serious. Like someone going off to war and fighting for our country, like, that's serious.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're playing a game. So why are we putting the same pressure on ourselves that someone who's going off to, you know? And so I just try and never lose sight of that and understand, hey, this is a game. At the end of the day, this is a game. This is about having fun, and this is about the fans.
And I feel like the best example of that is the All-Star game, when everything kind of, all the guys cut loose and just relax and kind of go out there. You know, they're wearing their AirPods and being, you know, mic'd up during games and things like that. And it's not that I want that for every game. Of course, you can't necessarily do that in the World Series. But what if we approached the game in a serious way, respected the heck out of it, but looked at it like we do an All-Star game, right? Or even a spring training game where you're having a little more fun. You seem to do that. I'm not saying that you don't take it serious. Of course you do, but you seem to do that, where you're able to have fun no matter what game it is.
And that's what I mentioned earlier in the podcast, was that there's a time and place for everything. And, you know, I'm professional. It's not like I'm sitting in my hotel room, Jason, be like, all right, today, when I get the chance to pitch, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there. No, it's like, this is just organic. Like, having, like, this is a part of who I am, and I'm just glad it shows, because it starts with off the field and how you go about your business. And so I'm just glad that it's overflowed into baseball, and people have recognized that, hey, this isn't the only thing in Brett's life. Like, this isn't what doesn't define who he is as a person. He's a baseball player, but, you know, that's not all he is. So I'm thankful.
Well, what's cool too, a couple of weeks after you were pitching in a game, you got to be an MLB All-Star game kind of correspondent. You were rocking the blue suit, the Jordan 3s. You had your wife in tow with you. It seemed like a pretty awesome experience.
It was a great experience. And I will tell you this, I have a new profound appreciation for reporters, for guys like you, because at times I felt like I was like burdening guys to like talk to, you know, and I'm like, why am I feeling this way? Like, and then I was like, you know, baseball players, we need to be more accessible. We need to be more understanding. Like, you guys are trying to make, at the end of the game, end of the day, you guys are trying to make us look good, to promote us, promote our brand. And I just felt like that at the All-Star game. So it gave me just this newfound appreciation, and it was a great time, great experience.
Yeah. It looked like you were having, as you always do, having fun and wanted to make the most of it, and having your wife there too, and being in Denver, which is such a great city. It looked like a pretty awesome experience. Let me ask you this, because obviously we're faith in sports. I'm curious, during a long season, and we're talking right now in the midst of the season. When we last had you on, it was at a conference. It was in the off season in December, different time of year for you as a baseball player. We're in the midst of the season right now. And I'm so grateful that you said yes and took the time to talk here. But answer me this, what's faith look like for you during a long season? Because I remember talking to Adam Wainwright about this, and you know, that's about as devout an ambassador for Christ and an ambassador for baseball that you'll ever meet. And he says, even for me, it's hard because you are so focused on playing every single day. The game matters, especially when your team's playing well. How do you stay grounded? What does that look like for you, Brett Phillips, when it's a long season?
That's a great question. And I'm going to quote scripture: as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Jason, I'll tell you what, we lead the league in guys going to chapel. Like Tampa Bay Rays has like over half the team goes to chapel.
Wow.
So we have an unbelievable group of guys, like-minded guys who have, you know, a relationship with God, who just going into the clubhouse each and every day, regardless of how you're feeling, you know, you have a believer next to you who's going to pick you up, and there's no better feeling, right? Like just that. And that's what's made this season go by, you know, fast and good. And what's been special is seeing these guys not only growing in baseball, but in their faith as well. We're going through Romans, a deep dive into Romans Baseball Chapel. But it's just we've put together like Bible studies. Guys got together in other guys' rooms. And it's not necessarily that, you know, we're talking about the Lord, but it just gives us an opportunity to get to know the guy next to you. So when you're on the field, you want to go out and you want to run through a wall for that guy because you know what he's going through. You know what he's dealing with. You know who he is as a person. And that's what makes a great team at the end of the day.
And how are you able to, I don't know, keep each other accountable maybe is the right word, but you mentioned iron sharpens iron. That's got to be something that, because you can't do this Christian life alone, and you're married, so you have your wife there to help you as well, but you're on the road. Like as we speak, you're on the road in a hotel room. That's got to be really important too, to kind of help keep each other accountable, not just on the field, but when it comes to your faith.
Yeah. You know, when whether it's gathering, in a room for a Bible study, one of the days, getting together for dinner, you know, getting together for lunch, when we're on the road, just constantly being, you know, so temptation never has a chance to even creep in because you have a believer next to you that you're hanging out with who can hold you accountable in certain situations like that. And I mean, that is just huge to have.
Let's take a quick break from our Sports Spectrum podcast conversation to tell you a little bit more about our partners and sponsors, Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. Compassion is about releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. And over the last year and a half, it's been a very tough go for all of us during this pandemic. But due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids and their families in Compassion programs have been left in dire, dire situations, and they need our urgent support. 70,000 is also the capacity of an average pro football stadium. And so here's what's happening. Compassion has partnered with our pro athlete friends to help fill the stadium. To fill a stadium worth of children in need, 70,000 kids in need. Now you can go to fillthestadium.com right now to learn more and to donate and help these kids and their families during these critical next few months. Every donation helps fill a seat toward a year of needed support, talking about things like essential food, nutritional supplements, hygiene solutions, and medical screenings for COVID-19. Think about that. You can make this difference right now in a kid and their family's life by donating through Compassion at fillthestadium.com. And so far, we've filled over 60,000 seats. Our goal is to help 70,000 kids, and you and I can partner right now with Compassion and make that a reality. Go to fillthestadium.com to learn more and donate today. fillthestadium.com. He's Brett Phillips. He's joining us here today on Sports Spectrum from the Tampa Bay Rays. So I need to go back to 2020 because, you know, I remember trying to text you after the World Series, and I totally understood. No, don't apologize. I'm just trying to set the stage here because this is going to help me with the question I'm going to ask. Everybody's texting you because Brett Phillips just had the World Series moment of a lifetime, right? And if you don't know, go back and watch it. I could set the stage for you. I mean, it was the bottom of the ninth. It was game four. You're down a run, two men on. You're down 1-2 to one of the best closers in baseball facing the almighty Dodgers, and you have the opportunity and you get the hit. And then you have the moment and you're doing the airplane. A couple of things from that. When you think back to that moment now, it's been almost a year, and obviously you want to move forward and you're into a new season. But I have to imagine when God brought you through to that opportunity and you walked through it, it had to be such a cool and exciting moment. What comes to mind when you think back to game four in that moment?
Honestly, I mean, like you said, it was the writing was on the wall the whole way leading up to that moment. And any other at bat, even in a regular game before this year, if I were to come up off the bench and a pinch hit situation, a regular game with Kansas City or whatnot, I would feel performance anxiety. I would feel like the pressure, I have to perform right here, right? Mm. But when I was on deck, and I always, when I start to feel performance anxiety and feel like I have to perform and things are speeding up to me, I always go to my favorite Bible verse, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Lord. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, usually when I say it, it's more of a distraction, right? I can keep saying it over and over again. I still feel the performance anxiety, but it's allowing me to think about that as opposed to something at the task at hand, right? In that moment on deck in the World Series, I said it one time, Jason, and I just felt this calmness come over me.
Wow.
And I know it just sounds crazy for people who don't understand, but I felt this calmness come over me. And like, I felt like I was locked in more than I ever have before. And as I was walking up to the plate, I'm kind of like searching for that performance anxiety that I always have. I'm searching for it. Like, where is it? It's not there. Mm. And then as I stepped in the box, I was just like, oh, game over. Like, I was like this, I'm doing this.
Do you know how I noticed it too, Brett? When I rewatched this yesterday, as I'm prepping, and it was a 1-2 pitch or 1-1 pitch, and I think the second strike was called, and it might have been a little or it was outside and low a little bit, maybe based upon. And you kind of were like, "Ooh," you were relaxed, but you were like, "I saw that ball. That wasn't necessarily a strike. It might have been, but it was 1-2." But there was still a calm about you, whereas in that moment, you might have gotten so ruffled and upset over that call, right? And then the next pitch you hit for the single to win the game.
100%. I mean, and I have even people who it was so awesome. My favorite part is about the situation is people telling me where they were at when they saw it, right? Like non-believers being like, I don't know who I was praying to, but I was praying that you did something cool. Like, that is so cool to me.
That's amazing.
And then hearing just like people's genuine excitement for me. But everyone said, like, looking at you, people who know me and love me and who've seen you before, we've never seen you so focused. And that's where I give all the glory to God, because in that moment, I've never felt that. So you're going to tell me that was just in the biggest moment of my life. You get to feel like you're the most locked in. No, that's not how it works. This is the World Series. Everyone would be nervous, but God allowed me to be, you know, just have this calmness in the box. And I'm forever grateful for the moment. I'm going to give glory to God, thanks, but also my teammates as well. Like they set that up for me. Mm. Right. Like, and obviously God had his hand in all of it, but shout out to, you know, the team and my teammates. I always want to give credit where credit's due.
Well, after you're doing the airplane around the stadium, around the field in the outfield, you're surrounded by your teammates and you're being patted, and it's got to be such a cool feeling to hit that kind of a hit and then have that happen. But then you go to your knees and you're just standing there because you're legit out of breath, right? Like you were wiped. You thought you were maybe going to, I don't know, collapse.
No, I was.
I mean, it was bad, right? For a second.
Yeah, the walls were closing in on me. Like, I don't know if you've ever passed out or any listeners have ever passed out, but you kind of get like this little, like the darkness starts to close and then you have like a little circle where you can see light. And that's when I had to go and I'm like, with the last amount of breath to, I was just like, stop. Like, I'm going to pass out, which is so embarrassing. It was the first time I've ever had to get an IV. I like dehydrated instantly and my body was, I was like resting heart rate was 160 just sitting there. Holy and they're God. Like, yo, you got to chill. Like, I'm like, I can't. What do you mean you gotta chill? So I ended up having to take like 5 minutes before I did the interview with Ken Rosenthal.
Yes.
Or I would have passed out if I would have interviewed right after that.
Man. And then after, obviously, which what I was getting to was you're getting texts and calls from so many people. And I remember just shooting you a text and saying, man, for such a time as this. And I'm sure you got a million of those type of texts from people. But after that moment, and obviously it would have been great if you went on and won the whole thing, but there's still opportunities that come because now people know, I hate saying it like this, but now people know who Brett Phillips is.
Of course.
National stage.
Of course.
What transpired after that? That's a way that you saw God kind of working in this moment after where you had this testimony now that you could share that involved baseball, but also involved your faith. What took place? Did you get a lot of opportunities to speak and share? I'm guessing you did.
Yeah. You know, it just grew my platform and allowed me to just be honestly more confident. You know, my baseball career hasn't in the big leagues, I should say, hasn't gone up to that point, how I thought it would have gone, being a top prospect and then coming into the league kind of as like a fourth, fifth outfielder, bouncing up and down. Yeah. I was just known as the laughing guy, right? Like which is fine, you know, like he's the guy with the funny laugh, but that moment showed, okay, like maybe he can play, like he can play some baseball. And it gave me the confidence inside to be like, I can do this, right? Like going into this year, I never had so much confidence in my life. And luckily it's been able to show and I've been able to have success, but you know, it just made my platform bigger to, you know, have a voice to talk about things and then actually have people like listen. And, you know, I spoke at some churches, which was awesome. And, you know, it's been so rewarding. And I've, like I said, I just feel so blessed and I feel like the luckiest man on the earth.
And there's no doubt you are in some ways blessed. Let me ask you this, because I think back to that time in August a year ago, as we're recording this, where you were traded to Tampa. Did you have an inkling that something special was going on with the trade? Because it's hard when you get traded in the big leagues, and that's happened a couple times for you. And every player kind of is having to come to grips at some point that may happen, that they may get traded. Sometimes it happens in the off season. But it happened for you like right before the stretch run and you find yourself on a team now that makes a run all the way to the World Series. Did you have an inkling that something was going on when you got traded, or were you kind of like a little upset that you got traded?
No, not upset at all. So great story for you. When I got called, when I got traded, Dayton Moore, he let me know that there were actually two offers for me, and Boston actually had a better offer than Tampa did. But he says that he, you know, he's like, listen, we want to let you know that we did right by you. And I was like, well, like, what do you mean? And he goes, we want to let you know that we're trading you to Tampa Bay where you're going to be able to, you know, go see Bree, your wife. I hadn't seen her in a month and a half. It's your hometown. We know that. And you're going to have a chance to play in the playoffs. But we want to let you know that came from how you showed up each and every day here in Kansas City. You were a great teammate. Even though you weren't playing, you went about your business the right way. You worked hard. And, you know, we kind of want to reward you through that.
Wow.
And, you know, that stems from my relationship with God. Like, if I don't have that, you know, the Holy Spirit to you know, I think I got two starts in the month of August before I got traded. If I don't have that relationship and that Holy Spirit in me, I'm a miserable man showing up to the ballpark. Like, oh, I'm not in the lineup here again today. But like, it's not about me, right? Like,
yeah.
What is God teaching me through that in those moments? And then when I have that walk-off hit in the World Series, like that came from not performance, that came from something I could control, which was being a good person, being a good teammate, working hard. And then that moment that has already been written a month and a half later is just like, no one can tell me that being a good person and working hard is not the way to go. No one will ever be able, the rest of my life, you can never be like, oh, well, you know, something bad is going to happen. You know, like it doesn't always work like that. Well, yeah, of course that's life. But Brett Phillips like doesn't have an opportunity to have a hit in the World Series, a walk-off hit in the World Series, if he didn't go about his business the right way a month and a half later when things were not going well.
Right.
Okay. Right. So yeah. I just like, I'm again, like I'm passionate when I talk about this because it's happened to me and I want everyone to know it can happen to them as well. Obviously not the walk-off hit in the World Series because, you know, not everyone's, but you can have that same joy and excitement in your life, however it's going to be. Just continue to be a good person, you know, have that relationship with God, work hard. And if things aren't working out for you right now, just persevere through that. Because I'm telling you, something good is going to happen.
Yeah. Consider it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, as James says, right?
Amen.
And I think back to for Dayton Moore to do that, that says so much about who he is. And I've heard so many great things about the man he is, the GM, but also the follower of Christ that he is. He leads with Christ in front. And that tells me everything I ever will need to know about that man in the story that you just shared. What an amazing story from a man
who
didn't have to do that, right, Brett?
He didn't have to do that. It's in business is business, and I know it's tough at the big league level is for guys like him to make the decisions that they have to make. And nine out of 10 times a GM's going to take the better offer, right? But for him to do what he did, I'm forever grateful.
So we talked about staying grounded during a long season in your faith. When everybody's patting on your back and giving you calls and texts and probably getting strange business venture offers and all these things, how were you able to kind of weed all that out and not get caught up in it? Or maybe you did for a little bit and that's okay. You're human, but to understand, and you've said this pretty well, I think in our conversation about baseball being what you do, but not who you are. How are you able to balance all of that and not get so caught up in it? Especially when you're at the top of the heap, if you will, of being a baseball hero.
No, I'm going to tell you, it was overwhelming. You know, it was very overwhelming. And at times my wife, you know, she had to remind me, hey, this is your time now. Like this is our off season. It's been a long year. And luckily I've had her to kind of help me, you know, understand, like, I don't have to do everything because at first I was doing everything like, and it overwhelmed me. Think like I was doing something almost every day. And so I think, it was the first time. No one is prepared for that, right? Like no one is prepared for what is to come after a big moment like that. So I thought like just doing everything was the right thing. But, you know, now in the future, it's kind of picking and choosing. And obviously I want to be accessible always to you guys, but not at what expense, right? Like, what am I getting from this? Like, is it, my wife put it perfect. Like, is it, you know, costing you your joy? Is it costing you your quality time with your family and friends? You know, like if it is, then say no to it. And so, you know, that's things that I've had to learn. And my wife is awesome. And so luckily that I've had her to kind of be there and help me out through it as well.
Yeah. And your wife is the daughter of a baseball coach. So it has to help that she's been around this game and kind of seen that through the eyes of her dad. And you guys have been together for a long time, I think, right?
6 years.
So,
yep.
Yeah. 6 years. And so it must be helpful, I would imagine,
very,
to have her know this world and not kind of be thrust into it and not kind of have an idea of what's going on here.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Just growing up, understanding, seeing her dad leave as a child, like for a week at a time, or when they had to, you know, be in Japan when he managed over there, just understanding this life and having her have that knowledge and background has made my life way easier in the big leagues. It's, you know, a lot of the times that's one of the toughest things for big leaguers who are married is maybe the significant other not understanding, like you have to go on the road for a week, you know, because this is your job, you know, yeah. Or things, situations like that. She's just been a godsend and a blessing to me, and has it literally, Jason, the calmness to my storm, I tell everyone.
That's good. Well, as we wind down, I want to be mindful of our time here. You got a game to play tonight. You have this official brand, Baseball is Fun. The website, baseballisfun35.com. So I want to promote it for you. MLB dubbed you the funniest MLB player. How has this been for you to have this sort of brand and not forget the fact that baseball is indeed fun and kind of owning that, but being having an opportunity to remind fans, remind people, hey, this is about the game being fun, not just about wins, losses, or, you know, everything, money and all that. Like, this is about the simplicity of baseball being fun.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly it. I just never want anyone to lose sight of what this game is all about, especially kids in the next generation.
Yes.
And, you know, I started out kind of as a joke, the brand, and has formed into a company. And, you know, in the future, I would like to grow it into more. Whether it's giving to charities or, you know, doing having baseball camps for kids, zero instruction.
Like amazing, right?
Egg toss. We're doing slip and slides, how to learn how to slide. We're doing water balloon. We're hitting fruit. We're like just what it's all about.
That's how I envision a Brett Phillips camp being, camp, by the way.
Right?
It's not well, let's teach you the fundamentals of baseball. Not for Brett Phillips.
Not here. We're here to have fun and enjoy ourselves. So I ultimately would like to move it in that direction. It's going to be a long time. But, you know, right now it's just been such a joy and such a pleasure. You know, I know I've said this 17 times already, but I feel just so blessed. And God has been doing some amazing things in my life. And I'm thankful that I've been able to share with you.
I am thankful as well, Brett Phillips. People need to go to baseballisfun35.com. You got some gear there. People can order. I want to get some shirts myself. And just appreciate you, brother. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for coming back. And we'll do it again sometime for sure. I appreciate
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, 100%. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And many thanks to my guy, Brett Phillips from the Tampa Bay Rays, for being here today on Sports Spectrum. If you're looking for a guy to root for in baseball, go get his jersey, whatever it is. Brett Phillips is that guy. The website again, baseballisfun35.com. Just so you know, Brett never once asked me to promote this or to give it a shout out or anything like that. I just know that he's got this brand now and this platform that God has given him, and it's widened and gone bigger than probably he ever thought it might. And I just want to give him a shout out and have you guys go support him. If you're a dad of a kid who loves baseball, Brett Phillips should be one of those guys that your kid is rooting for and cheering for in the major leagues. And I'm just glad he was willing to take out the time during a busy time, right? He's in the middle of a baseball season. We caught him on the road, a road trip to Philadelphia when Tampa was playing there. And we got to have him on from his hotel room. So I appreciate Brett for taking the time. He is awesome. And I'm a big fan of his, and I'll be cheering him on the rest of this year. Hope you will too. Many thanks to you as well for tuning in. I always say that, but I really mean that. It means a lot when you check out our show, when you listen, when you subscribe, when you tell someone about Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith as we try to grow our platform. Really, we just trust in God to do what he's got to do, but we also want to put out good content. And if you guys like what you've been hearing, please tell someone about Sports Spectrum. Introduce them to our platform. Maybe share this podcast with someone who loves baseball and maybe doesn't have that strong faith, and that's okay. You can use our show as a resource to tell someone about Jesus. And Brett Phillips and our conversation today is the perfect example of that. A guy who loves life, loves sports, loves baseball, obviously, but also loves God and plays for a greater purpose. So do that if you will. let someone know about Sports Spectrum, and then tune in next time for our next show here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. We're so glad that we're able to bring to you conversations on the intersection of sports and faith, bringing Jesus back into that conversation. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here on the show. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.